Good morning and welcome once again to the Open Door Baptist Church, the Tuesday morning men's prayer breakfast and devotion. And as always, this ministry is dedicated to the memory of our longtime friend, loyal supporter, and great man of God, William P. Davis. Today's October 11th, 2011. By the way, this is the 284th day of 2011. 81 days to go in this year. So use your time wisely. Today's devotion is based somewhat on a song that I like. I don't know if you might have heard it or not. I'll read it to you. Name of it is "My Hope Is in the Blood." Every hope that I have here in this old sinful world is anchored in the blood of the Lamb. Though the billows are raging and we're tossed to and fro, there's peace beneath that flow. My hope is in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. There is no other fountain so sweet. It has washed away my sin and gave me peace and joy within. My hope is anchored in His precious blood. Only one thing will matter when the time shall come to die. The treasures of this world won't mean a thing, but the joy of knowing Jesus will vanish all my fear. All my fear. All my fear. For He took away death, sin, didn't He? Amen. My hope is in the blood. I'm kind of get you a little bit more in the mood here. I'm going to read a little bit out of Psalms here, 146. Happy is he that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. A little bit about hope. And a little bit about blood. We're going to take them one at a time here. Hope is a confident expectancy, isn't it? In the Bible, Christ is the object of of the believer's hope in His second coming, and in the hope of eternal life with God. Romans 4:18, Abraham, he was talking about he has nothing to hope for, yet he still had hope. Romans 4:18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. 1 Peter 1:3, things hoped for. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, abundant with a capital A there, hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Hope shouldn't arise as a desire of us people, of humanity, but should come from God, who, by the way, Himself is the believer's hope, as I said earlier. Psalms 39, David is speaking here. It says, "Oh, now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." What else could you want for more better than that? Actual, genuine hope is not wishful thinking, but firm assurance about things that certainly not seen, but are still ahead of us. Remember the Hall of Faith chapter over in Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. again in Romans 8:24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? Verse 25 is there, the next one. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. With patience and wait. That's how you get patience, ain't it? Sometimes wait for it. Okay, a little bit about the blood here. The blood is a red fluid in the body that takes nourishment to the body parts and carries away waste. We all learned that in our school, didn't we? The word blood is quite often used in the scripture. Sometimes it refers to human blood, sometimes to animal blood. Remember in over in Genesis, from a Genesis Bible study, Joseph's brothers took a new coat and they killed a goat, a kid of the goats, the Bible says, Genesis 37 actually. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. Other times, of course, is referred to human blood. In 1 Kings 22, and the battle increased that day, and the king, this is King Ahab, if you remember the story, was stayed up in his own chariot after he got an arrow through him, a spear through him. He was injured and he was bleeding, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. He was just right in the middle, just bleeding. The word blood is often used as a figure of speech in the Bible. In Joel 2:31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day the Lord cometh. Also used in murder, isn't it? When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, this is at the crucifixion of Jesus. Remember, Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." That's when he's wanting Pilate. They kept saying to crucify Jesus, and he said, "Okay, what's the offense? What did he do?" And they said, "Well, he was going up and down the road preaching to folks." He said, "Yeah, what else?" "Well, just crucify him, just get it over with." And Pilate said, "No, I ain't going to do that." He couldn't find an offense to charge Jesus with other than preaching, you know, and he didn't want no part of that. Obviously, he said, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person." pardon me. In Hebrews 2:4, talking about flesh and blood here, 2:14 actually. "For as much as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power over death." Okay, as if you hadn't had any scripture already, I've gotten a little bit more about Jesus' precious blood. Leviticus 17, this is talking about Jesus shed his blood for our sins. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Romans 3:24-25. Believing in faith, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, to whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. forbearance, you know, means patience. He's a whole lot more patient with us than we are with him. We want what we want right now, don't we? Our redemption played with blood. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We all remember that redemption means to pay a price, doesn't it, pay a price to secure the release, as Jesus did when he went to the cross for us at Calvary, didn't he? The blood of Christ cleanses us. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. We have the blood of the covenant in Hebrews 13. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant of his eternal promise in it. peace through the blood of the cross in Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him reconciled all things unto him. By him, I say, whether they be things of the earth or things in heaven. 1 Peter 1:19, we're talking about the Lamb, the perfect Lamb without blemish or spot, but with the precious blood of Christ as a Lamb without blemish, without spot. Flawless, isn't it? Perfect. Okay. Now, this is where I was headed. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 is where I was wanting to go. Our comfort in the resurrection of hope. Remember, we're talking about our hope is in the blood of Jesus, of the precious Lamb of God. I'm going to start at verse 13. We'll be through here just shortly. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know, when you're talking about sleeping, talking about death, anyway. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, living without God and having no hope. And without God in the world. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And my gospel, that's talking about Timothy's preaching now, his own gospel, what he's talking about. 1 Corinthians 15, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and the doctrine of devils and demons. And, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, not by man, but by God, straight out of his word. And it's profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for helping people, for correction, for correcting people, for instructions in righteousness, instructing you how to live, so to speak. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Descend means come down, don't it? Ascend means go up. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Matthew 24. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth mourn, for they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds in heaven, and with power and great glory, with brilliancy and splendor when he comes back in it. Acts 1:11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gasping up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go to heaven." He's coming back the same way he went up. About done here, verse 17. "Then which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Boy, that gives you something to look forward to. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, boy. Another little song there, isn't it? Acts 1:9, "And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." John 14, "And I go and prepare a place for you." Amen. "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am," remember I am, remember I am, "there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." And the way, you know, God is the way. We got to go his way. His way is upon the blood. We got to get upon the blood, don't we? John 17, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before of the foundation of the world." Last verse, 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." 1 Thessalonians 5:11. "Therefore, comfort yourselves together, exhort yourselves together, and edify one another, build one each other up, even as also you do," just like you've been doing. finally, remember the last verse of our song here. "When it's time to die, the treasures of this life won't mean a thing." In Luke 12, it tells us that a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things, of all his stuff that he possesses. But God said, if you die tonight, if you die right now, what's going to happen to all your stuff? Your friends and your relatives and your family be fighting it over it, and you so can't take it with you. You may as well make yourself a will if you want something to happen to it, and you designate. You know, you can't take it with you when you go, so to speak. Old saying goes, without the slide it down in the casket before they close the lid on you. Remember, in the pyramids, all the pharaohs, they wanted to be buried in the pyramids and all this stuff put in there with them so they could take it with them, and got to checking got checking behind them, and the souls was gone, the bones was left, and all the stuff was there too. So that idea didn't work, did it? All this stuff was still there. They were gone, but okay, anyway. So can't take it with you when you go, so it ain't gonna do you much good there. Scripture says, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord to the saved. And in 1 Corinthians it says, death is swallowed up. And death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We the saved folks are going to get the victory, ain't we? The song says he took away the sting of death for us, didn't he? So thank you, Jesus, from that. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that our hope is in the blood of the precious Lamb of God.